We're on the Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. As per usual, we're joined by Judy Sharp. Good afternoon, Judy.
Hello, fixing the microphone.
Yes, sorry. It was a bit noisy, wasn't it?
That's all right.
Yeah.
Let's not dwell on it. Move on. What have you got for us today, Judy?
Well, you know what I have got for you.
Yes. Thank you very much as well.
No, not at all. No, we're not talking about the food parcels.
Oh, I was talking about the parsley.
Oh, were you? Oh, yeah. Right. No, last week I tried to encourage you to grow rhubarb.
Oh, that's right, yes.
And you canned it using that stringy and all that. So I've got you a recipe.
Oh, okay.
To make some apple and rhubarb crumble.
Oh, hooray.
How's that?
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I know, he's probably going to put it in the bin.
Most likely, yes, but...
Take it home to your mum.
I've got to get strawberries and apples as well now.
Well, that's all right. You can manage that.
And rhubarb.
Yeah, and rhubarb.
In this day, no? In this economy? Judy, what have you got for us today?
Well, I thought we might talk about hippiastrums, some indoor plant discussions, and tomato preparation. And then we've got to address azaleas. They get something very nasty at this time of year.
Rightio. And we've got Peter from Thornton, and he's got some issues with his freesias. They're not flowering.
Hello, Peter.
How are you going, Judy?
I'm going very, very well.
My freesias don't flower, and I'm not talking this season, I'm talking years.
Okay, now, have we fed them at all?
Next question.
I thought I'd get you cold on that one straight away, Peter.
Right.
No, they're hungry, darling. They really like feeding up. I thought last week I might have talked about feeding spring bulbs.
I think I missed last week.
Oh, right, yeah. I did kind of give everyone the hint they should be feeding the spring bulbs. So.
Right.
And if you
I've got a lot of green there.
But how long since you've fed them?
Yeah, like I said, next question. I water them. That's it.
Okay, now we've got to get bulb food now.
Okay.
And straight away, and you might still get some flowers.
That'd be nice.
Because, you know, Peter, they're very easy to grow.
Oh, aren't they ever? We've also got daffodils and we've got the naked ladies and they all work well.
But it's only the freesias that aren't flowering.
Yeah.
Ah, well, okay. You've got to feed them up, definitely.
Yeah. They don't get morning sun. Is that a hint?
Do they get any sun?
Oh, yeah, they get afternoon sun. In this period, maybe from 12 o'clock till 4 o'clock, maybe.
Yeah, no, look, that's fine. That's good sun, and it's not over hot for them.
Okay, they're not going to get hot.
No, they won't get hot.
I won't transport them out to the front of the yard where they get, the blazing sun in the morning.
No, don't do that. No, just leave them where they are and give them a little bit of encouragement. But I've got to say, Peter, you might not get them to flower now until the next season.
That's fine. I can wait that long. I've got that long.
Okay, good. Well, please ring us back and let us know about them.
I will, Judy. Thank you very, very much.
I better get some food for them, Peter.
Okay,
just get some bulb food. That's all you need.
Wonderful.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got Sue now from Charlestown, and she's got a question about roses.
Hello, Sue. An ideal time to ask me about roses.
Yes, well, we've actually pruned them, but I wanted to move one out of a pot into the garden. Is it okay to do that now or should we wait till next year?
Oh, no, that'll be fine now. Have you pruned that one as well?
Yes.
Oh, no, now's a good time.
Now's a good time.
Yep.
Then also, the other question was about roses was, what do I feed the ones that are in the pot? I know we don't feed them the same as what we do in the garden.
Okay. My favourite food is Sudden Impact.
Yep, got that. That's great.
That's all you need in a pot.
That's all I need.
Yeah, but look, and Sue, I regularly throw that around my bedded roses in the garden.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we put that and then a mixture of, I think it was blood and bone and gypsum. So that's what we, and that works really well. But I just didn't know we did the same with potted roses.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Just
definitely.
Sudden Impact?
Yep. You won't go astray.
Thanks so much, Jude.
You're welcome, Sue, and happy gardening because they're my favourite plant.
Yes, me too, Judy. I love them.
Take care.
You
bye.
Have a lovely day, and Greg too. Okay,
thank you. Bye.
Just thanks, Sue. We've got Bruce down from Belmont North. Now, he rang us, I think, last week that his yellow roses were stolen, and you gave him a bit of advice about replacing them.
Oh, that's right. I did too. Freesia, I suggested, I think you got to get Bruce. Hello.
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 Hello, Judith. How are you?
I'm very well. And did you have any luck getting a freezer?
Yes, dear, I did. I contacted the people, the company you mentioned, and what they're doing is they're actually sending me up some actual yellow roses. And I was so happy about that, because when I spoke with somebody on the phone and told them what happened to me initially, they were quite upset, thinking, my God, you can't even beautify your yard without somebody thinking, oh, I'll take that. You know, it's disgusting, you know. But anyway, love, thank you for your help. And on the weekend, I spent most of the Saturday and Sunday prepping a brand new spot for them to go in when they arrive.
Oh, that's wonderful, Bruce. So I presume we're talking about swains, aren't we, in Sydney?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, good, good. No, they'll send them up bare rooted to you.
Oh, yes, yes. No, but look, I said, when I spoke to, I think it was a woman on the phone, oh, my God, she was horrified at that, to think, you know, you beautify your place and someone thinks, oh, I'll take that. Who gives us stuff? You know, it's just terrible, you know.
Well, you know, that's the home of roses there, so naturally they would be upset.
Oh, yes, you know, but no, when I explained it, she said, not a problem, love. She said, I gave her the amount that I needed, and I didn't need too much, but she said, no worries, we'll get them sent up. And like I said, I got the garden bed and everything prepared for when they arrive, to just dig straight in and plant them. So,
well done, and thank you very much for the call, Bruce. It's nice to hear from someone where we're successful sometimes, Greg. We're not always successful, Bruce.
I'd say 70% of the time.
I thought 90.
Okay, so, well, which 85.
Good luck with them, Bruce, and give me a buzz and let us know when they're flowering.
All right, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Bruce, anytime. Bye.
It's always a bit rough when people not just take your whole flowers, though, maybe one or two.
Yeah.
Don't nick the whole flower bed.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
it's dreadful.
That's what I'm saying, it's a bit rough. Just take one or two. Why can't you do that?
And you know what? I never even thought to say to him before, to Bruce, but I bet if he walked down the street, I remember seeing sometimes they just go pull it out, and as they walk along, they throw it down. They don't want it, you know. They're just, playing up as they walk along. Sometimes they might have had a bit of the,
confidence.
Confidence
juice.
Confidence juice, yes.
We've got John from Cameron Park, and he's got a question about his citrus trees. He's got a lime and a lemon.
Hello, John.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well. And yourself, apart from your citrus?
Well, look, I've got three citrus trees, and they've all got the same problem.
Wrinkly.
I'll start off with the lime tree.
Yeah.
I've had it in for about 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting any fruit on it at all.
Right.
And the leaves on the lime, the lemon, and the mandarin are all wrinkly.
Right, okay.
And I've got the mandarin tree, which was a dwarf one in a pot. I've since transplanted it into the ground. I don't know whether you can do that or not.
Yeah, of course,
You can?
Yeah.
And it will still stay a dwarf tree?
Oh, yes. No. They're grafted dwarf.
Yeah, they are. Correct. Yeah,
they are.
That's right.
Yeah. So your lime that's not fruiting?
Both, lemon and lime.
Oh, right. Okay. Look, my regular question, John, are you feeding them?
Yes, I feed them with the citrus feed I got from Bunnings. But I do it probably four times a year.
Right.
And I've got no results on it. And
right.
I even bought sulfate of potash.
Right, okay. Well, you're doing the right things. But when they're in the ground, John, they do like poultry manure.
Oh, okay, like cow manure.
Chook manure. But what you need to do is, and it's a good time to do it now, go out under the drip line, not against the trunk. Water the ground before you apply the poultry manure, and then water it in.
Right.
And then 3 weeks later, that's when you give them the citrus food.
Oh, after 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, don't bombard them, both at the same time yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those wrinkly leaves might be leaf miner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they just all sort of scrunch up.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's leaf miner, and they are prone to it. Mine have it. My lime has it at the moment.
Yeah.
That doesn't deter them from fruiting, I find. But you you can spray it if you want to. But maybe I think the secret for you is going to be to feed them up a bit.
Feed them up, okay.
Feed them up. And the other thing I have always in the garage is sudden impact for roses.
Sudden impact for roses, okay. Yeah.
That sounds a bit tricky, doesn't it?
I'm feeding roses now. I'm feeding the bloody citrus tree.
Yeah, well, look, it's a nice pelleted product. And the beauty of it is it's alkaline. And that's what citrus trees like. Citrus.
Oh, well, I was saying that, Judy, I thought I might have had too much alkaline in the soil.
Have you tested it?
No, I haven't, but I just thought I might have been because I've planted it next to a fence and it's in full sunlight.
Yeah.
It gets about 6 hours a day of sunlight, which I thought was enough for it.
Okay, so tell me, that's not a concrete fence, is it?
No, it's a Calibon fence.
Oh, right. Well, that won't be leaking any alkalinity into the soil.
I didn't think so, no.
Yeah, no, I think we need to...
It's got a timber border around it.
Yeah, but, you know, if we do the process, let's get the poultry manure in and then the citrus food and just get some of that sudden impact for roses in the garage, give them a feed up with that every now and then. But if you're still having problems, John, ring me back because... You know, when you feed them up, that might help them fight off that leaf miner. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, okay. And it's the same with my mandarin tree.
Oh, yes,
Okay.
Yeah.
Last year I got a good feed of huge mandarins off it. Now, since I've taken them out of the pot, Judy, and put them in the ground, I've got the fruit there, but it's not getting any bigger. It's gone from green to the orangey colour,
right.
But it's not getting any bigger.
So have you haven't fed that either, though, have you?
I put the citrus feed around the outside of the tree.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only thing I've done with it, and watered it in,
Yeah, we need to go a step further, I think, John. Yep. We've had so much rain too. Don't forget all the elements are going to be leached out of the soil. Washed out of the soil, So we've got to feed up now to make up for all that.
All right, so that's the same with the lemon and lime do with the mandarin tree?
Yeah, they're all citrus and, you treat them all the same.
Okay, well, I'll be visiting Bunnings this afternoon.
Okay, well, you have good luck with that and let us know how you go.
Okay, well, thanks very much for your time, Judy.
That's okay, John, any time.
Thank you.
Well, we've got Anne now from Berkeley Vale and she's got a pruning question.
Hello, Anne.
Hello, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well. What's the weather like in Berkeley Vale today? Lovely?
It's lovely and sunny at the moment and quite warm.
It's nice. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. We're out in it, actually, sitting out the back, my husband
lovely.
And I.
I think we're on the turn a little bit now. I was saying to Greg earlier.
I hope so.
I think once we get to the end of July, I always feel, you can see just a little bit of a change.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's your problem?
I have a salvia that's very leggy. It's
right.
in a pot.
Right.
It's got leaves on the end and a couple of flowers, and I want to cut it right back, but I'm a bit scared.
No, I don't think you'll kill it. I think they're very hardy creatures. But it's in a pot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do
you have the time to do it?
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, we're on the turn, I think.
Yeah.
But you don't get frost down there, so you'll be fine.
No, we're quite on the coast.
Yeah. So the only thing I would recommend is now you get some Flourish for flowering.
Yep.
And you water that in every week.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And,
that sounds fantastic.
I'm sure you'll be right with it. But, although, Greg, did you say the weather's changing tomorrow?
Yeah, there's supposed to be some showers tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Supposed to be. Take that with a grain of salt as well.
Okay, Anne, look, maybe just keep your eye on the weather and see what you think before you do cut it back hard.
All right. Oh, well, I might wait a couple of weeks then and then do it.
Yeah, it won't hurt. No.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you
for
the call, Anne.
Thank you very much, Judy.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
And we've got Alana from Katara, and she's got an issue with her frangipanis.
Hello, Alana.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
I'm very well, dear. Now, are you talking about on your leaves? Because they shouldn't... Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Or like an insect slate or little orange...
Yeah, that's rust. It is rust, yeah. So what you'll need to do is just spray them with something like copper oxychloride.
Oh, okay.
But I would imagine you won't... What you'll need to do, watch your new leaves when they come out, because I find with frangipanis, towards the end of the season, before they drop all their leaves, that's when that rust attacks them.
It does, yes.
Yeah, so.
It hasn't flowered for 2 years. It's only a little cutting that I had in a pot, and it's about 1.5 metres tall. And I'm just wondering, putting sugarcane mulch right up against the trunk, would that have anything to do with that or not?
Oh, look, I don't think so. It's virtually airborne.
And,
but, you know, it's wise always to leave their trunk, any plant's trunk, a little bit, you know, not right up against it.
Well, where we've put it, it's very, very damp. And, of course, all the rain we've had, I thought that might have caused it too. But I'm thinking about just pulling it out because it hasn't flowered for 2 years. I'm thinking of just pulling it out and getting a new cutting. I love the flower on it, which was the pink yellow.
Oh, yes, that's fantastic. No, let's try and treat it.
Just treat it.
Yeah, let's get some copper oxychloride and spray it.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck and let us know how you go, Alana.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Daryl now from Wall's End, and he's also got a pruning question.
Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Judy. How are you? I was just wondering if you could help me. Where am I supposed to prune fuchsias and what do I feed them?
Daryl, you know, fuchsias are very unusual creatures. I was always surprised when I studied that fuchsias don't mind to be pruned in the winter. They like it.
Right.
So when you see new plants in flower, they would have been pruned a little bit before winter or during winter.
Mm-hmm.
So are they in the ground or in pots?
Yeah, they're in the ground. They're the old ones. They're 3 foot, like a metre high, some of them.
Yep.
And so how far would I need to chop them back?
Look, I wouldn't go, well, now we're really in winter, so I wouldn't go too hard at them, but you can certainly prune them, Daryl.
Right, okay then. And do they need feeding after I prune them or wait
definitely.
Till springtime?
No, definitely feed straight after you prune.
With?
And look, I'd look around for some they're in pots, are they, or in the ground?
No, they're in the ground.
Oh, right, okay. Maybe just some flowering a product that, you know, creates flowering. You could use Flourish, but that's a liquid, yeah.
Yep,
but yours are in the ground, so they might need a little bit of a feed up first.
Right.
And then start to apply the Flourish.
Righto then, fair enough.
Yeah.
So if I fed them up on a bit of cow manure or something like that?
Wouldn't hurt, but go lightly with it and not too close to them.
Yeah, okay then, fair enough.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to ask you was, I've got this weed growing. I don't know where it came from. It looked, first of all, I thought it was a native violet that was coming up from somewhere. But it's taken over whole beds. And it's just a mass of roots when you go to dig it up. It's got a leaf, very similar to a native violet.
Right. And you're sure it's not a native violet?
No, because I've left it thinking it was. I let it go. But it just got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it filled whole beds up. Then I started digging it out. But as quick as I'm digging it out, it's coming up somewhere else.
Right, okay. So it doesn't flower?
No, it doesn't have a flower on it. I don't know why or how it spreads from one bed to the other.
That's what I wondered I thought if it's got a flower on, that's why it's spreading.
Mm.
So it's just a case really of keeping removing it, isn't it?
Well, I thought about spraying it with weed killer, but then I was told I might kill everything else in the bed, the roses, the irises, the bulbs, the whole lot.
No, don't do that. I'm sorry, it's just going to be hard work. Dig it out.
No, that's all. I don't mind hard work. Yeah. I just wondered, did you know what it would be? That was all.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry. Just off the top of my head, without seeing it, you know, it's a bit of a guessing game, isn't it?
Yep, Yep. But it does, it really does go everywhere. You can't stop it unless you dig it out. No, it's fine. I can dig out.
Yeah, dig it out and just keep turning that soil over so it doesn't produce again.
Yeah. Thank you very much for that.
Good luck with
I appreciate
that.
It.
Good luck, Darryl. Good luck. Right, it's work, isn't
you.
It?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Jan from Gwendolyn, and she's got a camellia which is kind of half dying.
Hello, Jan. That's no good. Well, tell me what the leaves look like.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, camellia, sorry.
Or afternoon almost, isn't it? It is. The camellia itself, the bush is about probably 8 or 9 feet tall. It's a beautiful red. I think it's Cinque. That's the thick, bushy one, isn't it?
Yeah, a smaller leaf and a smaller flower. Has it just finished flowering?
No, it's still flowering. No, I don't think it is Cinque.
No, it's a Japonica. It is a Japonica.
Yeah. I beg your pardon, yes.
Yeah.
So half the bush looks fabulous, the dark green shiny leaves, and it's flowering. And the front half is looking very sad. The leaves are yellowing and it's still flowering, but it's just strange how half of it's looking a bit sad.
Okay. Now tell me, is that in the full sun?
No.
It's not. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Filtered sun.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Japonicas like that.
Right.
You don't have any of those white, you know, those witchetty-looking grubs, the cockchafers in the soil?
Not that I've noticed. No, right. Not that I've noticed.
Well, I dig around the soil because that's the result you get when they're eating the roots of a plant.
Okay, right.
And then all of a sudden the plant dies. You don't want that to happen. And you can't see any borers.
No, I haven't noticed anything.
No, nothing.
Like
right,
that.
Okay. Yeah. And so tell me those leaves, have they got a greyish look on the back?
Oh, I couldn't honestly tell you, and I'm not at home at the moment.
Okay. Well, that's your next job to do.
And okay.
Give me a
back.
Buzz. Yeah, look at the back and give us a ring again next week if you've got time.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Well, thank you, Judy.
Okay. Good luck with that. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And we've got Norm from Ellie Barner, and he's got a question about flowering and pruning for grevilleas.
Hello, Norm.
Judy, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm glad you rang in about that because I've slipped up in the last couple of weeks. It's an ideal time now to prune grevilleas.
Is it? Because the one I've got, it's real healthy, and the instructions say give it a hard prune once a year. And I've had Google it a few times before, and it says after flowering, but it seems to flower all the time. It's got a lot of buds on at the moment. I thought I didn't want to prune it with all the buds on. So I was a bit, I know last year I pruned it late spring after the main flowering. I didn't know whether that was the right thing or not. So I just don't know whether I'm on the right track or not.
Now, Norm, can you tell me which grevillea it is?
It's a flamingo.
Flamingo, okay. Look, the only thing I could say to you, when I drive through the university to get here to the station, they've always pruned their grevilleas in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
And they still seem to be flowering. So
right.
If your grevillea doesn't flower often, does it only flower in the spring?
No, it seems to flower most all year round almost.
Yeah. Look, I don't think you'll do it any harm to prune it now.
Righto.
You could wait. It wouldn't hurt to wait. Until the weather does turn the corner.
Yeah, just it has got a lot of buds on them. I think, it's a shame to cut off all the buds.
No, just wait till they flower now and then give it a prune and you'll probably be doing it at the ideal time.
Yes, I'd probably be getting close to early spring then, but would it not all?
Yeah, and once you go into August, but you want them to flower and then prune them, so early spring won't hurt at all.
All right. Okay, I'll give that a shot.
Okay, thank you for the call, Norm.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye.
Thanks, Norm. Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Judy Sharp, just before we venture out for the afternoon, you did want to talk about hippiastrums.
Oh, yes, only that. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to flower. They're not flowering now, Greg.
Yep.
But they will soon in spring. And if you want a beautiful bowl of flowers to take inside, you pot the hippiastrums into a bowl,
mm-hmm.
and when they flower, take them inside, and they do give you a beautiful show.
Into
inside.
A bowl?
Into a bowl. You know what a bowl is?
Like a pot.
A nice round terracotta bowl.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Shallow,
yep.
Shallow, so that you see the little hippiastrum bulbs just above the soil. describing this with my hands, aren't I? I'm sorry. But they're hardy. You can't kill them. But they are wonderful to take inside for a display inside.
Rightio. So get that done now.
You can get that done now, definitely.
Now, did you want to mention about azaleas?
Oh, yes, just briefly today. You're sidetracking me, aren't you?
Or do you want to go indoor plants?
Okay, let's do azaleas.
Because I'm pretty sure at the top you said I want to mention azaleas.
Okay, look, I'll be guided by you. I mean, I'm never right. azaleas are prone to spider mite. Now, if you look at the leaves, Greg, on your azaleas, they go grey on the back of the leaf.
Rightio.
Or they either go grey or they go yellow and rusty coloured. And this is spider mite.
Oh.
And so if you don't want your azalea to die, because they can be touchy little devils, then you've got to put some David Gray systemic around it.
Rightio.
Around your plant.
Yep.
And that comes in a nice jar and off you go and water it in.
Okay.
So we can talk about that again next week.
Rightio.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a teaser of what to do.
Yep, I think so.
Judy Sharp, thank you very much. We'll catch you again next Monday.
Thank you, Greg. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.